Luke's going to lead us. It's from Matthew 25.
When the Son of Man comes as King and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will get gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and all others at his left. Then the king will say to the people of his right, "Come you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When the Lord did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When the Lord did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me. This then will be sent of the eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
A sermon should start with a big word. Sesquicentenary is the big word. It was a celebration for 150 years that Queensland had after being going for 150 years. And there were lots of celebrations, you might remember some of them, but anyway, one of the things that the government decided it was going to do for the sesquicentenary was put down 150 great things about Queensland. And people came up with 150 great sportsmen. You know, well, we should add about 50 or 60 racehorses to that, you know. But that wasn't quite what they had in mind. So they got together and they said, why don't we have a list that does have 150, but it's in groups, 10 groups. So there were groups called people that made things happen in the state. Artists, sports people. You know, Rod Laver, if you wonder, Racehorse Guns Inn was there. Artists were Judith Wright and Graham Connors. They had locations. They had cultural attractions, structures, defining moments within the state, innovations, events, and things that were typically Queensland. Well, in the midst of all this list, there's Blue Nurses and Blue Care, one of the 150 things that were perceived to be top dollar for Queensland when we remembered being here for 150 years. It was in innovations. Innovations was there with things like School of the Air, Lamingtons, Wee's Fruit Bars, Southern Cross Windmills, Blue Nurses. And beside it on the formal list is formally it's Blue Care, formerly Blue Nurses. It was a big occasion. Blue Nurses started way back in 1953. The Reverend Alan Preston at the West End Methodist Church became aware of the need for a home nurse. Hospital beds were short. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Hospital beds were short. Home nursing services just weren't up to speed all round. And so the church decided that we would have a home nursing service that they would look after, and they put in, the church put in, the church council, it was the Methodist church, they put in £30. I looked it up and it said it's about $1,200 in today's terms. They put out some good press, some good media, and they appointed Olive Crombie as the registered nurse who would set off to look after these people. So she had a small medical kit, you know, sterilizers, bowls, trays, forceps, you know, bandages, the usual bits and bobs that you would have, and she set off on a tram. You went everywhere on trams in Brisbane in those days. You went to school, you know, went to town. You took out your girlfriend on a tram. And so Olive set out to do her first house call on August the 24th, 1953. There she was, travelling by tram. Within the year, the West End Church, with its West End Methodist mission, had 6 full-time nursing sisters, 2 part-time sisters. Within 1 year, there'd been great fundraising. It really hit a nerve and people were there. They dressed in blue. It was a great colour to work with and everything like that. And it did wonders. And people were saying, well, okay, why has West End got it and we haven't? And so in 1956, a couple of years after, we get a statewide movement to get it all going. A statewide movement. So here it was, a small little service with a lady on a tram. Ultimately, of course, they got cars and, you know, it all got, you had a bit more money so you could get cars. Today, 9,000, 10,000 staff, 47 aged care facilities, 60,000 community clients. So we're giving thanks today for 70 years of Blue Care acting in the community. What of Ingham? Well, we didn't miss out. 56 years ago, in a small room at the back of Ingham Methodist Church, the Uniting Church there, you can go into the same room there today. It's kind of full of, you know, artificial flowers, excess chairs. It did have a kit of drums there, but that's where the Blue Nurses started from. They had a committee, they met monthly, and they, like back at West End, it expanded. It expanded from a few nurses to more nurses, to more cars, to 4 cars, and we raced around, and we had rules about how much flood water you could go through and whether we supplied the nurses with Wellington boots, and it was all on. But we fundraised, and there was annual fundraising. We did blood tests for sugar, and you know, and the docs would come. We'd do it at the shopping centres. It was just an exciting time, and there are photos of people, sadly, all passed, because it was always went to the old ladies to sit in the street and do the fundraising. But things expanded from the little room at the back of the church into the old manse, which was hot as hell, even with the air conditioners going. We built the complex in Gedge Street. I had a faint feeling it cost us $80,000, but it was back in the mid-1980s. And then the committee built Blue Haven. This was a multi-million dollar operation. We raised funds locally. People donated generously. Okay, the government donated too, but, you know, huge amounts there. So here we come to the 1990s, and we have Blue Care in Ingham with this complex in Gedge Street, renting out the back to Meals on Wheels for a peppercorn rent, parking lot, Blue Haven built, nice put down. It was a multi-million dollar operation. We couldn't have survived without people like Keith Hobson, who was the accountant at Oreg Lasso Motors. He basically worked on Blue Nurses every night of the week. It couldn't survive like that. It became so big. And so it did with other Blue Nursing complexes around the state. It became Blue Care, and it obtained a bureaucracy, had to deal with governments. Governments were really putting the money in these days. They wanted people at home. They wanted to be looked after and so forth. They were putting the money in, so they started to call the shots. And the local committee disappeared. But the legacy's there. Wonderful events. Blue Nurses or the Blue Cares, people are still there. They go out and they support people in homes. They support people at Blue Haven, and they support them in huge numbers of ways that others who are more close to the organisation could tell you about. But it is a joyful experience that they're. And that brings us into the reading for today. It's not one of the easy rings. It's easy to read and it's pretty simple to understand. You know, the Lord comes along and says, right, good ones over this side, bad ones that side, that's it, done and dusted. And they both kind of complain in a way. This group of words that Jesus says about the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, jail. There's lots of things they leave out. It's a funny world, isn't it? Because I don't see people naked to give them something to wear. Although it was an event that occurred from time to time after we built Blue Haven, the police would ring up the Don and say, we found this naked man in Cartwright Street. Is he one of yours? The staff would race around and kind of look in this door, look at this door. Yeah, he's one of ours. And bring him back. It was a thing because Blue Haven wasn't a jail. It was your home, and you could, if you decided to walk out without any clothes, you didn't have to tell people. I mean, if no one saw you go, that was it. It did happen. But hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, in prison, what chance of we got to go to prison to visit people? Not something that's, I don't think it's readily there. I don't know. Yeah, it was it. I mean, I went to Bogger Road once. There's a jail. I was probably at university and I went with a group and I don't quite know why they asked me to come, because they wanted to sing. Anyway, that was not a good thing. But anyway, I went there and we had a big service. A lot of men there, and the minister at the time said, oh, they all like to come to the service. They all like to come. So obviously it was some advantage to them to come to the service. And the singing was wonderful indeed. And there in the service were men that I had been to primary school with. And you wondered what had gone wrong in their lives, that here they were in jail. You never really got a chance to speak at any, you know, it was, hi, how are you, you know, fine, that style of thing, and they were gone. But I don't get a chance to go there. Now, when Jesus spoke of these, you know, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick in prison, was that the list? Was there anything else? Are there meant to be no additions? Obviously no subtractions. We have this story too. We have the story of the Good Samaritan. The concept of helping poor and afflicted goes all the way through the Bible. There's a wonderful verse in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 7 which says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Here we have the Lord telling us that judgment is going to be based upon our response to human need. Simple things. Simple things. How often do we get the opportunity to do these simple things? Today, organisations have taken over for us. We might support the organisation with money, with whatever. But personally, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked? No. The smallest things made a big difference. Olive Crombie took a port, got on the tram, got off, a small thing, and she made a difference. Wonderful. Small things are often so simple and thing. Pam and I go skiing. We've just come back from New Zealand. Wonderful. It has one real impediment though. There aren't brakes on the skis when you've got your feet in them. They will go down the hill and they'll go faster and faster and faster. And when you've got the lesson, they say to you, that the instructor will say, now, if you get out there, just ski up the hill. Look, the things are designed to go down the hill, not up the hill. How do I ski up the hill? Now, when you can ski, it's very easy. But when you're learning, it is not easy. And the solution to how do I stop going at this terrible pace? Usually you're not going at a terrible pace. You think you are going at a terrible pace. But what's the solution? Well, you fall over. Now that has its problems too, because as you fall over, the ski comes off. So it's one ski way up the hill there, you're here, and the other ski has kind of kept going for a bit until they do have brakes, until it stopped. And there you are. Now, while you can get up and go down to the one that's down below, going to the one that's above you is not particularly easy. You've got to be skilled to do that. People stop and help. Well, occasionally. Most people go straight past. Why do they go straight past? Because they're fearful. It's not like, you know, if I stop, I might fall over. It's a simple thing to help. But sometimes you're frightened of what it might do to you. When we do these little things, Olive sitting out on her journey with her port, stopping on the ski slope to help someone, no one's thinking, Olive wasn't thinking, I'm doing this for my Lord. The person helping on the ski slope is not thinking, I'm doing this for my Lord. They were just little things. For the least, they were helping for the least of anyone. Little things, though, have a great impact. Little things change our life. They can bring us closer to God. I want to tell a little story that I've seen a couple of times, and it's a variation. It's a little thing. This little boy would go out often from home on adventures. His adventures wouldn't take him very far, just to a nearby park, but he was off on his adventure. And he did it regularly, and his mum was fine. And he would always pack something. Oh, going on adventure, you need to pack things. So he'd pack a cheese and Vegemite sandwich and some poppers. So he'd have his little pile of Vegemite sandwich, cheese and Vegemite sandwich, and he'd have his poppers, and he'd put them in a little bag, and off he would go. And this day he said to mum, I'm going to find God today. Oh, right, says mum, off you go. And he'd gone a little way, he'd come into the park, and there he found an old man sitting there, just sitting there in the park and looking at the pigeons around. The boy sat down next to him and opened his bag. He was about to take a drink from a popper when he noticed the old man looking hungry. He thought, I'll offer him a cheese and Vegemite sandwich, which he gratefully accepted. And the old man smiled, and the boy said his smile was so present, he wanted to see it again. This beautiful smile, he said, I think he's saying to himself, I need to see that smile again. So he offered him a popper and a beautiful smile again. The boy was delighted. It was lovely. They sat there all day, just close together. And after he got up to leave the boy, and he thought, he walks away and says, I'll ring back and I'll give him a hug. And the old man gave him the biggest smile ever. And the boy races home to mum and says, as mum comes in, she says, what did you do today that made you so happy? He said, I had lunch with God. Lunch with God. But before his mother could respond, he said, you know what? He's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, the old man, with also radiant with joy, returns home, and his son is stunned by the look of peace upon him, his face, and he says, Dad, what's made you so happy? He says, the old man says, I ate a cheese and Vegemite sandwich in the park with God. And before his son could respond, he said, you know, he's much younger than I had expected. Too often we underestimate the power of a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment. In the act of caring, the Lord is telling us that judgment is based upon our response to a human need. Amen.